Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. I tell you, this has been quite a week. We got a chance to undress the enemy this time around. But before I get into that, I want to talk about what happened here in the city of Benton Harbor. A young man was sitting in his car, and he was shot while sitting in his car. A veteran, Army veteran, 25-year-old kid, pretty much minding his own business. But when you hang around with people who do bad things, you're subject to be a victim. Now, I know this young man's family. He is a very decent family. But unfortunately, he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, talking to the wrong people. And what happened was, he was shot, taken to the hospital here in, well, actually it's in St. Joseph, Michigan, but it's the only hospital in this area. Spectrum, Lakeland, same thing. Same situation, nothing different. He went into surgery immediately and turned out that he was going to pull through. Matter of fact, he was on his way home from the hospital. He got up and went to the bathroom. When he got to the bathroom, he fell. And he laid there. And he died. He bled to death. How do you bleed to death in a hospital? How? It ain't even possible. Well, this 25-year-old young man bled to death at our Lakeland Spectrum Hospital here. You can go to this hospital with a cold and die. And black folks don't talk about it. Black people are too intimidated to stand up for what is right. Not all of them. We have quite a few who would not take a stand. This is why we get mistreated at the hospital. And this is what the hospital did. Now, don't tell me that these people are not thinking. They wanted the family to hurry up and have a funeral. And if I'm correct, I'm also thinking that they may have paid for the funeral. My way of thinking that I heard somebody say that the Lakeland Hospital was willing to pay for the funeral if they have it right away. And they had it right away, buried the young man, buried him on Saturday, and they was forced to dig him up on Monday because they never had an autopsy. Now they got to decide whether the person who shot them is a murderer or the hospital is a murderer. I think it's the hospital. I think they are responsible for the death of this young man. And I think they also that they are responsible for the death of this young man because they was willing to pay for the funeral as long as they completed it immediately. That's right. As long as they completed the funeral immediately, they was willing to pay. So let's say that they knew what they did was wrong. I'm hoping, I have not communicated with the family, but I'm hoping that they get a lawyer and deal with this hospital, because this is not something that happens every now and then. This is the killer hospital. This is what they do. Fascism is here, whether we like it or not. It's here. It's here. Can you believe that they voted 57-43 to convict? Fortunately, it took the additional 10. Well, one of the things I know about my white brothers and sisters, they're not very quick to convict each other, regardless. I remember once I saw this in a book about how they used to hang black folks. They would go to church at 11 o'clock, get out at 1 o'clock, hang a few black folks while they're eating their dinner, have their children there while they're eating their dinner, hanging and burning. One time at dinner time, they cut the baby out of a woman doing a hanging. Nobody goes to jail. Nobody get convicted. Nothing. So I'm really not surprised when it comes to white folks. Trump said that he can go down there on Fifth Avenue in New York and shoot 5-6 people and won't lose a supporter, nor would he get arrested. I believe that. Because cops is killing people every day. They don't get arrested. They don't care. Somehow, something is going to have to give. You know, until we put ourselves in a position where we're willing to die for what's right, I think that's the only thing that's going to help us. As long as we're sitting around here killing each other over nothing, things like this is going to continue. You see, I tell you this for a fact. If we don't get it together, things are going to get worse than ever. We have black folks right here in the city of Benton Harbor. That's right. We got black folks right here in the city of Benton Harbor who act like Trump, a Pope version of him. You put them in office and they think they're bigger than life. Who would believe a Muslim would act the way this guy acts? It's amazing. But we allow it. See, that's the key thing. That's the key thing. I remember in Chicago, there was an alderman which turned Tom on the people. They found him faced over on his desk with a bullet through his back and through his head. I'm not advocating violence, but I believe that it's time that we're going to have to start manning up. It's time that we start doing things that need to be done. It's time that we take this thing to a whole different level. And until we do that, it's going to continue just like it is. We have no shame. We should be standing up fighting every minute of the day. If it's not for us, it's for our children. There's nothing more important than our children. And we're losing our children because they do not see the fight in us, the fight for them. They do not see us standing up for them like we should. There's some out here that actually doing it, but it's not enough. We have to stand up and fight for our children. Until we fight for our children, things are going to continue just like it is. We had a drive-by here where this young man, reason unknown, gets up, stands up in the sunroof top, and shoots out the window, not knowing who he might hit. And all the kids thought that was cool. No way possible would I sit here and tell this young man that that was good, or that was cool, or that was, they will say, oh man, did you see him? No, I didn't see him. If I saw him, I would turn him in. Yeah. Sometimes you have to take a stand and do what's right. Anyway, that's enough of me talking. I'm going to bring in my guest from beautiful Philadelphia. I tell you, she was the person, the Million Women March. That's right. 1 million women. Can you believe it? She led that. Absolutely. With no ifs, and buts about it. Oh, wow. She's a force to be reckoned with. There's not two of her. There's only one of her. There's not two. I can tell you that. She's just an incredible young lady. And we love her very, very much. And I want to bring in the one and only, the Empress from beautiful Philadelphia. Talk to me, Empress. Talk to me. Tell me about
hey,
you.
Greetings, Reverend Pinkney. Greetings, family. Yes, yes,
right.
Yes. It is such a pleasure to be here with you. Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you for that introduction. And a point of clarity, it was not a million. It was 2.5 million. And, the media tried to play that down because they didn't want people to know that we had that kind of capability. And when I say we had that kind of capability, people, this is Black History Month, but most do not know the history of the million, and not women or women's, it's Woman March.
Woman.
And I always
All
find
right.
it very interesting because people don't say the Million Men's or the Million Man's.
Uh-uh.
They say the Million Man March, right? But
okay.
For whatever reason, when it comes to us, they want to change it. And what happened, white women saw that. They also saw the lack of support for Black women. And then in 18 or whatever it was, then they had this Women's March. And
mm-hmm.
and tried to make it seem like it was a part of the Million Woman March. It was never
okay.
a part of the Million Woman March. It had nothing to do with the Million Woman March. But again, they were trying to seize the time to co-opt what we had accomplished, because unfortunately Black women did not really step up like they should have and could have over the years. So white women say, oh, y'all not going to embrace your own history? Well, we'll make it seem like it's a part of us, and we'll take what you started, and we'll take it to another place in it. And they attempted to do that. And, of course, we exposed it and, was able to let people know that was never a part of us. And then eventually it fell apart. The Negro women that they got involved in it ended up falling out, and we knew that would happen because it was disingenuous. It wasn't
mm-hmm.
about our people at all. In fact, white women, white females in particular, they had a plan. They already had their own agenda, and they were going to use other women to, as they have in the past, to propel and move forward their agenda. And many Black women fell for it. Well, not many, but some Black women fell for it, Reverend Pinkney, because unfortunately, as someone said to me the other day, we've become desperate as a people. We want so much to win. We want so much to see some advancements and so forth. So unfortunately, we kind of gravitate to whatever is going on. And family, please excuse me because I'm at the train station. So if you hear a little noise for a moment, it's only because I'm waiting for a train. I'm actually in Washington, D.C. right now. because we're getting ready to plan some things, okay? So bear with me. They're doing something on the speakerphone there, but it'll go away in a few moments. But at any rate, the point being,
let me say this. So what they did, they tried to piggyback off of the 2.5 million march and create their own movement.
That's right.
Huh.
That's right.
I never thought about that. I am so glad that you informed me of that. Because you know that movement, and I also knew that they had a falling out too. Because some of the black women, they thought that they was trying to take over that movement.
That's right. That's right. And see, you know what people don't know? They initially tried to call it the Million Woman March.
Hmm.
Initially.
Wow.
And we called them and we said, no, you're not going to do that. And they tried, but fortunately there was enough sisters out there in cyber world, and so it didn't happen. They were not able to do it. And we're so blessed that they didn't, because if they could have, they would have. It made it seem like it was, you know, them. So we have to be real clear about embracing our own history.
Absolutely. See, I happen to know one of the ladies that, you know, that fell out with them. She said that they had a lot of money behind them.
Of course.
And
it was corporate.
That's what she told. It was a corporate job, and she said that this is how they built this thing up. Absolutely.
See, that's what we're saying.
Look,
corporations.
I know you don't have a whole lot of time, but I want you to talk to me. Tell us what you want us to know. What time your train gonna get there?
Reverend Pinkney, can I call you back in 5 minutes, and then I'll be in a quiet place?
Well, why don't you call me? Make it 10 minutes, okay?
Okay.
Make it 10 minutes.
All right. We'll
all
do.
Right,
thank
lady.
You.
Yeah, okay. All right. Good. Let me bring in my good friend Marcina. Her daughter is having a birthday, and I want to wish her a happy, happy birthday. She's named right after my good friend Marcina. And Marcina, are you there? Talk to me.
Yes, I'm here, Reverend Pinkney. I really like your guest, and I like what you said too. What's going on in with some of the things? I know it's very disturbing, but you write on about what's going on in that hospital where you live. But it's unfortunate what happened to the young gentleman. So my thoughts and prayers go to the family. However, thank you so much for wishing my daughter a happy birthday. She's been through so much fighting the system, as we all do. We're going through a whole lot in America and across the world. We still got COVID-19, and in spite of the vaccinations across the country and the world, there has been an increase of death in cases, and particularly in the United States. And I never forget the 2019, in December 2019, January, February, people across this country wasn't aware of COVID-19 came to this country from Europe. Now Wuhan, China, it started there, but it spread it from Europe here in the United States in spite of Donald Trump with his massive lies for over 4 years. We had to deal with that, and nevertheless, and he's been put on a pedestal. But he claimed it was a Democratic hoax. The numbers, the COVID-19 numbers had spread it. Donald Trump was only concerned about being the next, being the continuation of his presidency in November the 3rd, and that didn't happen. So we're dealing with a lot, and right now we're getting close to 500 million deaths with COVID-19. Instead of 484,000 but a lot of those numbers have been manipulated and some deaths have not been reported, fools or whatever, and we got over 27 million cases at this time, and it all started with Donald Trump, and yet it's unfortunately that he's been acquitted. Any wrong.
Well, you know, I wouldn't call that being acquitted. To me, it's like having a hung jury. You have more people voted
right.
against him to be to be guilty that than they voted for him not to be guilty. Even though it took 67, to me that's like a hung jury. You didn't really get clear because more people voted for you to be convicted. Now how you gonna get acquitted if more people vote for you to be guilty?
That's right, Reverend Pena, because we got Conley, that gentleman is pro Donald Trump. He's so down. Before January the 20th in inauguration, they were going to have this trial for the second impeachment. Of course, he weighed that down and stalled, and then when it came 2021 and after inauguration, he's saying, you all should have presented this last year. But see, he played games, and this is what we got because Donald Trump says now that he's been acquitted, that he is definitely going to move forward with his MAGA, his MAGA group.
It ain't going to be nothing like people think it
great
is.
Again. Make America great again. So he's got something up.
Well, the show wasn't great. You know what? The show wasn't great under him. I can tell you that much. He was the worst president this country have ever had. And nothing he did that was good. Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. And what? See, they brought up about this insurgents. Over there at the Capitol, January 6th. But they never. Democrats, they never brought up about the lives that was taken because of Donald Trump. Failure to lead during the COVID-19. So this is why our numbers is so high right now and heading 500,000 people that had COVID. No, I feel like nobody take the bet. No, 500,000. It's close to 500,000 deaths.
Right.
But the cases
right.
was over 27 million.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems unheard of. But you got folks. He don't have a national mandate to say people have to practice safe distance, 6 feet, wear a mask, wash your hands, blah blah blah. CDC and all this stuff guidelines. He it totally ignored it, and he was supporting his MAGA folks. Those racist white supremacists across the country that walk around with no mask and intimidate folks, assaulting folks because they're wearing a mask to protect themselves. So, and then they would, have a rally with very, very large groups, thousands people supporting Donald Trump across the country, attacking the state capitals, and then they end up the U.S. Capitol January the 6th. Things were happening under his watch, under his guidance. But yet he was not held accountable for the things that he has done, that basically he's got blood on his hands, and many people's lives would have been saved if the United States had acted properly, ASAP, when it came down to these cases that were suppressed by the Trump administration, what was going on, and people didn't know about it. I knew about it in February and March, but a small amount of people across the country did not know about COVID-19. But then Donald Trump was calling it a hoax. So he called it a Democratic hoax.
Yeah.
And la-da-da-da, all this other kind of crap. In the meantime, people are going to work, doing things that they normally do, go outside, do that, whatever, go to the store, and they had no protection. We didn't even have masks. I had to make my own homemade mask. Because we didn't have basically, I believe Donald Trump had a plan to kill most of us, particularly people of color.
Amen.
So they won't talk about that. Yeah.
Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to hold that thought. I want to bring in my guest back because she's about
she
to catch
back.
A train. But don't hang up. I want to get you back, okay? All right. That's my good friend Marcina. And now I got to bring in the one and only, the Empress herself. Empress, are you in a position where you can talk?
Yes, I certainly am. I'm good. It's a comfortable, quiet location now, and I thank everyone for their patience. I heard what the brother just said, and I want to let everyone know that we're in 2020, Reverend Pinckney. You know, the research that we've been doing, because as some might be aware of, we're bringing forward something called Recharge Genocide 21. And it is the continuation of something that was started in 1951 with Paul Robeson, William Patterson taking a petition to the United Nations charging his government with genocide. And then Malcolm X in 1964 went to Africa and addressed the African Union about our human rights being violated. Now we're looking at 70 years for one, and over 50 years for the other. So here's my point. What makes us think after 70 years that we're going to get justice from these people or the truth or what have you? Why are we still anticipating it, expecting it, or what have you? And everything, I heard what you said earlier about we got to step it up and be like real black men and real black women. And what we're telling black women, of course, black men, but, you know, black men got to talk to black men. Black women got to talk now to black women. And black women, if you're not prepared to defend yourselves, which means your children, your family, your community, then you're playing games in the 21st century. Mother Harriet Tubman, also known as Araminta, she was strapped. Y'all know that.
Mm-hmm.
But you may not know, though, since this is Black History Month, you may not know that Rosa Parks also carried a weapon. So even though she's known as the mother of civil rights and all of that, check out her history before she became famous for sitting on the bus. And you will see that she was fighting in her hometown against the white people who were literally raping black girls and women on a regular basis. And that she did is not carry a weapon. Now, black women, they won't do hardly anything to protect our girls in particular. We'll read about it, we'll talk about it, but what will we stand up and do about it? Just the other day, Reverend Pinckney, I got the report of a pregnant young sister was found in a suitcase, pregnant, chopped up. I get these kind of reports often, too often.
Mm.
But yet when I ask black women in particular, black men too, but I'm saying as black women, don't you feel the necessity to respond to some of this realistically? Because other women are, when it comes to their own. What are we doing when it comes to ours? So you know, to move forward, the Recharge Genocide 21 project, it encompasses everything. It's not just about the police murders and beatings, which is what was primarily focused on in 1951, William Patterson, Paul Robeson. They submitted information of the lynchings, the murders of our people all over the country. It was incredible to do something like that in 1951, to have the names, the dates, the ages, those types of things submitted. There was no email or internet or anything like that, but they did it, okay? And so here we are today. But with our Recharge Genocide 21, we're not just talking about police and governmental terrorism, as I said. We're talking about environmental racism, such as that in Flint, where the government knew that that water was contaminated and that the people were going to get sick. They knew this, and they did
nothing. Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, again, we're talking about genocide in terms of mass incarceration. We're talking about genocide in terms of COINTELPRO, political prisoners. This is all forms of genocide, and we understand what genocide is. And this is what Malcolm X talked about in 1964, that we have to go from civil rights to human rights, because that's really fundamental. And so with the Recharge Genocide 21 Project, that's what we're now doing. We're preparing to take our first 1 million signatures to the United Nations later this year. There will also be a mass demonstration, you know, considering COVID. I mean, we have to see what happens.
Yes, yes.
But, yeah, I mean, so you know, but I'm just letting people know that that's what's coming.
Well, I plan to be part of that.
You have to tell the world. Oh, you, mm-hmm. Oh, Reverend Pinky, I've already drafted you. You're one of our ambassadors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right,
but
all right.
We have to tell the world. We have to tell the world. See, we can't keep just talking to each other. We have to tell the world. Because the world thinks that the U.S. is, you know, liberty, justice, and equality. And compared to some countries, it is. But the other comparative analysis is this. Other countries don't say they so much about democracy or equality or liberty or justice. Those other countries tell you straight up, this is what we're about. You ain't doing this, this, this. But this country creates the illusion, and most people think that that's what it is, and it isn't. And it's up to us to show 400-plus years of not only brutality, but of murder, rape, molestation, castration. You name it, it has happened to our people.
The Amtrak train 192 headed to New York. This is not the MART train. Once again, the Amtrak train 192 headed to New York.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I tell you, what time your train leave?
The Amtrak train 192 headed to New York.
I am on the train right now.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I'm on the train right now as we speak. So it's at a stop.
Okay.
So now it's pulling off again. But my point, Reverend Pinkney, my point is that what's the actions now that we're going to do? And what I mean by that is this. We've demonstrated. We've had rallies. We've had sit-ins. We've had all kinds of things. But here's what we don't have, Reverend Pinkney. We don't have our own schools. We don't have our own health facilities. We don't have our own kind of anything in our communities. And so until we have our own institutions, and I don't mean the ones that are, you know, you can't function unless you have a grant.
Yeah,
why is it in 2021? I mean, do you realize, family, a people who won't even educate their own children, they'll never be respected. Every other group of people have their own language. They have their own culture. And they have institutions that make sure that they teach and continue to train in those areas. We don't. We depend on the enemy to do that. And the few institutions that we do have, they wouldn't exist if they weren't getting grant money, which means they can't say and do what they want to do.
Mm-mm.
You see, they
Absolutely.
Have to go by guidelines and other things. So
Absolutely.
Why in the 21st century, see, here's the litmus deal. Any group, any person in our community that is either not supporting, not trying to build, or not advocating for us to be self-determined, you need to begin to consider them a part of the enemy.
Absolutely.
Because any group that can't be self-sustaining, they will continue to be subjugated.
And this is one of the things, Empress, that I always talk about, you know, we love our athletes. We love them. But what they're doing, if they do anything, if they give out gym shoes, they call them activists and everything else that they're – We need medical centers in our community. We need grocery stores in our community. We need gas stations in our community. We need stores where we can buy and keep the dollar circulating in our own community. This is where these guys with the money, they don't know this. But you know what? 30% of the amount of money that they make goes to the government. 30%. When you see somebody making $20 million, $30 million, 30% of that goes to the government. But if they all they needed to have was a 501c3 and they can put it
That's
into
right.
the community. And and one of the things, there was a young man here, Wilson Chantley. He's kind of like related to my wife in a roundabout way. And he played for the Brooklyn Nets and all this. He got a big $35 million contract signing stuff. And I went to him. And was discussing with him how he could, that 30%, that's how I know 30% goes on taxes. They telling them, do not invest in your own community. Don't do it. If you want to put up a marijuana shop, they're willing to do that. They're willing to partnership with you. But then they're not willing to put up grocery stores, medical centers, gas, they stuff that's going to keep this dollar circulating. They're not willing to tell these athletes that. And look at the return on this. You're not losing not one single dime. And they just don't get it, Empress. They need, you know, they always think that you want some of their money. I don't want none of your money. Just help the community. I'm good with that.
So Reverend Pinckney, listen. This is 2021. When you go and listen to some of Malcolm X's speeches, which I have really been studying because, you know, I'm doing a campaign to make certain that the work that he started in the last 2 years of his life, he gave his life to fight for human rights. That was a part of his major platform. So here's the point. The same thing that you just said and that I'm saying and others are saying, they said it 50-plus years ago. Therefore, why are we either expecting, anticipating, and this is what I said earlier, we need to focus on what we need to do and how we are going to do it, not somebody else. I don't have to tell anyone to try to figure out why an athlete is doing this or not doing that. I already know what you're going to do or not do. And like I said, 9 out of 10, going to get some money and ain't even going to marry somebody to look like us. So we already know that. We got to look at what are we going to do. What's our plan? Because I'm not looking for no savior to be coming from no MBA or ABA or whatever it is or anything else. We are smart enough, we are talented enough, and now many of our people have certain types of skills, professions. You're telling me we don't have the capability to figure out how to do this stuff ourselves when people was doing it decades ago?
I see, girl. You know, you're saying something because, yeah.
Absolutely. We must look at, okay, let me share this with you. This is some of the research again, and you gave some excellent points about 30%. Well, let me give you something that's even a little more simplistic. We talk about Buy Black. We talk about, supporting Black and so forth. Do people know how much of that money goes back into the system? As opposed to, okay, yeah, the Black business gets some percentage and they're able to do a little something. But in the bigger scheme of things, what's really going on is the refueling of the system. Because 90% of whatever that's being transacted, whatever's being sold, whatever's being exchanged, is somebody else's product. So what we're really doing, we're the instrument to help further other people. Even though we're getting some little portion of it. But generally speaking and fundamentally speaking, we are refueling the system. Until we begin to advocate to manufacture our own stuff, we will be instrumental in, they just had MAGA. Well, we'll be MAGs helping to make America great.
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely see where you're coming from, and that's gigantic. See, when I grew up, you know, we had Black stores. I grew up in Chicago, and we shopped at Black stores. Matter of fact, I don't ever remember going to a white store when I was growing up. It don't mean that there wasn't white store, but I don't remember because we had our own little community. We had Madison Street. Where all the clothing stores were, and they was owned by Black folks, and we had shoe stores, we had everything, we had a grocery store right around the corner. I think it was a big supermarket owned by a Black person. They called it Arts. It was around the corner. We lived close to the corner. It was right there, and Black folks owned all this. Now you go try to find a store that Black people. Well, I'm talking about here in Michigan. I don't know about Philadelphia. I know I was in Philadelphia just recently, it wasn't recently, but a couple of years. But I don't see that. I don't see us out here you know, see, that's because we're not thinking about the future. See, when you don't think about the future and you think about somebody else's future, this is what you're creating. You see, there's not a reason in the world that we should not be shopping in a black community and building for ourselves, just like you said, building for ourselves. We should not be waiting for some kind of savior to come and help us. We got enough resources to keep to build whatever we need to do. I think we kind of like on that level, but we want the easy way out where you don't have to work 10 hours and 12 hours in a grocery store as the owner or whatever it is. But I think that we have to take this thing to a whole different level. Well, listen, you got 5 minutes to talk to me, whatever you want to talk about, and I got to move on because I know you're on that train.
Okay.
But you talk to me. Don't let me lead this conversation. I want you to take care of it. Talk to me.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I want to say this again. We're in the 21st century, so the things that we did 50 years, 100 years ago and all of that, we definitely embrace it. It's a part of our history. But we have to now understand the sophistication and the timing that we're in. And again, we went from one point to the other point. We now got to go to the next point or the next level, like you just said, Reverend Pinkney. And certainly, again, if we're not advocating and talking about self-determination, and that means making certain that we have our own everything, from education to health care, et cetera, that we are doing in our own communities. I'm giving a challenge to our people. Every year there's something called Black Solidarity Day. It has been in existence for 50 years plus. And Black Solidarity Day is the day before Election Day. And what was taught many years ago, and some are now embracing it again, is this. The day before Election Day, withhold all of your dollars. Don't spend any money the day before Election Day. If black folks did that in communities all over the country, do you have any idea how much that would cripple this government, this system for one day? If black folks withheld their money for one day. So here's the reality. Reverend Pinkney, if we can't even do that for one day, let me tell you the truth about this. What else you think we won't be able to do if people don't even have the discipline or the capability to not spend their money for one day? So I'm telling people now, November, the day before election this year, I'm not sure what day it is this year, let's see how many of our people will pay attention to history. Look it up in Wikipedia, what have you. It's called Black Solidarity Day. It was started 51 years ago. So let's see if we're ready to organize for something that's a part of our history that our people used to do. And let's see if we're prepared to, for one day out of 365 days, let's see if for one day we can withhold our money. Lastly, we invite everyone to join us next Sunday, February the 21st. We're doing a special salute to, of course, the great Malcolm X, but also Nina Simone. Malcolm X became an ancestor on that day, and Nina Simone was born on that day. And for that day and the 2 days leading up to that, we're going to talk about reparatory justice. Not just talk about it, but what's the plans of action? What are we going to do to make sure it happens? We talk about reparations, but what's the plan? So we're going to now begin to bring, that's right, it can't just be, oh, we want reparations. We okay, fine, that sounds good. What's your plan?
Yeah.
So those that have a plan.
Man,
how far
are you willing to go to make this plan work, too? How far
that's
are you willing to go? Are you going to continue to sit on your hands and louder and just tell me I want reparations? Is that what you want to do? You want to just say, well, we should get reparations. We should get reparations. You know.
Well, we're going to see now who's serious, the real Reverend King. We're going to see who's just going to be doing some talk and who's ready to do the work. Because I'm going to tell you, we've researched 7 cities, and we're prepared now to file class action suits in Detroit, Chicago, Philadelphia, Baltimore, Washington, D.C. That's why I'm traveling now, family, because we're going to see who's serious now. When we come to your city and we start saying we're prepared to file class action suit, when we talk about reparatory justice, we don't just want to talk about it in the context of you getting a check. We want land. We want property. And so we can begin now to file class action suits in regards to discrimination as pertains to gentrification. Gentrification is displacement. You know, Reverend Pinkney. By you know what they're doing. And that's a part of gentrification, but it's also a part of what's known as social engineering, and it's also a modern-day form of ethnic cleansing and ethnic dislocation. And this is what we have to make clear to people. And so we're going to file suits to bring greater attention to that issue, because in Philadelphia there's at least 44,000 properties that are vacant, that's been sitting, some of them for 10, 20 years. Why? With all the people that are homeless, why would you have 44,000 properties vacant?
Wow.
And the same thing is happening in cities all over the country.
Absolutely.
You see,
listen, Empress.
This is what we now must do. We have to get organized and really saying we're going to stand up and we're going to show the statistics. We're going to show the type of, not just discrimination, but the manipulation. And with that said, also the Negroes that participate in making sure that this stuff continues to happen. They need to be exposed.
I agree 100%. To me, there's nothing worse to me than a sellout. There's nothing to me that's the epitome of our problems. That there's someone willing to take a dime, That's all they're giving you. It's token what they're giving you, and you willing to take it and sell out your whole community and your whole race of folks.
But listen. The question is, and I got to mention this, of course, those who have seen the Judas and the Black Messiah, we had Chairman Freed on our program last night. The fact that we sit back and talk about these things, but where's the accountability? Who's holding these people accountable? We know that they're doing this in our community, but are we standing out in front of their houses protesting and letting people know they're sellouts? Are we taking any other kind of actions to make certain that they know, that we know who they are and what they're doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing to expose these people? We got to deal with holding them accountable and not just talking about what they're doing. They need to feel when they come outside, they need to be wondering, is somebody watching me? Is somebody, they ain't got no fear about nothing because ain't nobody holding them accountable. So they do whatever they want to do.
Absolutely. And black people are some funny folks, if it's their cousin, their brother, their sister, or a member of their family, or somebody they went to school with, they feel it's okay. They feel it's all right, Empress. They feel it's all right for them to be a sellout because they know them. A guy told me once, I know him. I said, yeah, you do. You don't know him well enough. He's willing to sell the souls of your children to these devils, and you're willing to accept it? What is wrong with you? But I got to let you go.
Sister Pam just gave me an alert, and I have to say this real quick. Tomorrow, there's a demonstration here in Philadelphia. I'm heading back to Philly now to be a part of that demonstration tomorrow. And of course, people will be doing social distancing, but they're going to be in front of the district attorney's office. Mumia is ill again, and the district attorney has, of course, he's ill. The district attorney has issued a statement, and the statement has said that they see no reason for there to be a new trial. They see no reason for anything, that they believe that the initial ruling, even the death penalty, they are saying that they feel that that was still in order and so forth and so on. Okay.
Wow.
And so tomorrow there is a rally at 11 o'clock at the district attorney's office in Philadelphia. We'll keep everyone posted. My email address is nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. And you can text me at area code 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-3802. And we'll keep everyone abreast of what we're doing, and of course any of our family that is in the struggle, we always make sure that their information is available as well.
Wow, that's gigantic. You give Pam my love, give the African family, Mamiya and them, give them my love, tell them I stand with them 100%. And whatever they need from me, I'm here for them. Let them know. And also, I had a chance to talk to Pastor Collins today. Gave him some words of encouragement, and which was gigantic today. And I'm staying focused, and I'm staying. But you know, whenever you need me, Empress, you call me. You don't you hesitate.
I surely will.
You say, and when you,
I surely
when you,
will,
Robin, yeah, well, you call me when you need me. You call me, and I'm expecting that from you. But listen, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
It's an honor to have you, you know. And we've been together a long, long time. And love you. And happy Valentine's Day.
Oh,
you know?
And even better, because I don't do those kind of days. I don't celebrate no European holidays. But listen, next month is Women's History Month. Please, brothers, get your sisters, your wives, your daughters, get them a membership for Million Women March. We have a membership drive going on now. So get folks a membership. Give our sisters a membership to now the first global movement for women and girls of African descent.
Wow. Give out your number again.
Okay. It's area code 267-636-3802. Or you can email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. You can make a donation. We'd love that because we don't get grants. Never. Have never had one. You can cash at us at $HOT1111. Again, $HOT1111.
All right, my girl. Hey, you have a safe trip and take care of yourself. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Reverend Pinkney. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Peace to everyone. Peace to you.
All right. Wow, that was gigantic. Now I got to bring in my good friend Marcina again. I want to thank you, Marcina, for allowing me to do that. Also, I want to wish your daughter, your namesake, a happy birthday. I just love that name, Marcina. I got to tell you that. That is a name that tells
thank
you that
you,
you're willing to fight. Absolutely.
Yeah, Marcina Jr.
Talk to me.
Yeah. You know what? Continuation of what I said earlier. We talked about the acquittal of Donald Trump, but here's the thing. Instead of us moving forward, Donald Trump and his buddies, the politicians, the white supremacists, wanted to move us backwards. The MAGA group, he says, it has only just begun. So I know Facebook wants to suppress the message from black folks. There's double standards when it comes down to black people speaking truth on social media. We'll get shut down and get in Facebook jail. But yet Donald Trump and others, political folks, white supremacist groups, over 1,000 groups was on social media, didn't get kicked off like Farrakhan did. He got kicked off of Facebook, Twitter, and all that. You don't hear no more from Farrakhan in the social media aspect. But yet Donald Trump said his own mouth, and he still is not going to pay for the wrongdoings he has done, incited, riots, or whatever you want to call it, executing hits on people, all that and above, and he's still walking around free.
Yeah.
Donald Trump said, I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, and I wouldn't lose voters.
That's
he
right.
He said that one of his campaigns.
Absolutely. So, that's his word.
And so, my thing is, it's double standards for white folks. White folks, it's going to be for white folks. They're going to support each other no matter what. They can bring their assault weapons to a U.S. Capitol, and they can go about their business, go about their ways. We say one thing, that they don't like. We can say white people on social media, and then Facebook would attack you. I've been there, done that. Mm-hmm. I've been in Facebook jail for a while, and it doesn't even be hate speeches. We talking about hardcore hate speeches from these various white supremacist groups that was on social media, and nothing happens to them whatsoever. Talking about beheading folks, all that above. They even go as far as talking about doing bodily harm to federal agents, and nothing happens to them. So we know there's different standards. What we gonna do about it? We ain't gonna sit and wait for
right.
people to take care of. We gotta come together as a people and let them know we gotta get out here every year when there's election and fight back. Because those people, those white supremacists, it tried all kind of ways in 2020 to suppress our votes. And they had the postmaster, DeJoy, who still is the postmaster, tearing up the machines at the post office. Because the post office mail carriers, cutting them off as far as, working a full day's work, 8 hours a day. And then our mail is late and everything else. What's the holdup? Get up, rid of him. But they tried to do everything they could to suppress the black vote. Trump was targeting black people in Democratic areas. Majority of them vote democratically. And basically, he called it the election was stolen. And he basically was focusing on black folks. And it did all kinds of ways and went to all the various courts across the country, Supreme Court and everything, and still didn't work out, but he got acquitted. And so we got to deal with this clown again. Like we still fighting for our lives with COVID-19. They trying to suppress it under the rug. It's still going on. I don't care how many vaccines you got in the country, millions of them, but we still have this being a threat to the community at large, particularly people of color and indigenous people that affect the most. We were
That's
the
right.
ones that were dying and crying for our loved ones and our friends. So these white folks thinking they're not going to get hit. They've been getting hit too, but not in a large rate like us. So we still got to fight. We always fight. They don't think we get tired. These folks is happy making millions of dollars because they stealing. Who steal more than them white racist folks? Got buying homes, got million mega churches, mega this and mega that, and we out here struggling, getting in line for food, cars being repossessed, houses being taken away, folks being homeless. Black folk killing each other, going through a whole lot of stress, and hear this clown say he ain't done yet. Are you serious? I didn't think we was going to hear nothing more from this man here. But it goes to show we going to fight to the end. We got to come together and stop talking about each other and do something that's come to, as one. Because these white folks is together with their white supremacy. They together and taking away our rights, our voting rights and everything. So, I'm not going to sit and talk about it, but I'm going to do my share. And they must remember we got one planet. They try to destroy that. All they think about is money. They don't care about poisoning us, our water, our food, and killing the bees and all the other insects to deal with the ecosystem and the wildlife. All this is one. It ain't just no white folk on the planet. We talking about every living thing on this planet. We gonna destroy ourselves if we sit there and not talk about it and do something about it. We have to continue to fight with this double standards where white folks can do crimes and don't do the time. Black folks don't always do the crime, but they do the time. I know I don't have much time because I know the woman. I understand her dilemma. She was at the train station, been there, done that. When the train coming, they ain't trying to wait for you in the conversation. They gonna keep it moving. So I get that, so I'm not concerned about you interrupting me. But it is what it is. It's always a fight that we deal with
And Reverend Pinckney, we just have to don't give up. It's disheartening, you know, because the system don't work for us.
No.
You got these white supremacists with high power weapons, okay, claim they have a right, a Second Amendment. You don't have a right to have a war, a weapon against the citizens in the United States. You don't have a right to go to a U.S. Capitol and threaten folks in there. It's the craziest thing ever, and then they got away with it. This is basically sending the wrong message. The fight is not over.
That's well, you know, my thing is that, you know, my thing, I'm not really concerned about them. My thing is what we do. What we do is more important.
Well, you know, neither am I, but they got their weapons. If we get a weapon like that, okay, what they going to do? We got to protect ourselves. We going to jail. They don't go to jail when they shoot us.
Yeah. And Marcina, I want to train you how to use a firearm.
Well, that's what my family member wanted me to do.
Right.
Okay.
And your family members are correct. You should, you know, even if you never have to use it, you know, just so you have the ability to use it in case it needs to be done. What I want to do, I want to set up some classes so people can at least learn how to shoot and how to clean it and all different things like that. I think that would be gigantic for you. I know one of your daughters, I know she believes in that, which is gigantic. And I think you should really consider that. Yeah, you should really. I mean, but first, I think you're the type to me. I feel like you might be afraid of a firearm. You know, that's how I feel. It's feeling reference to you, but that's because you don't know. If you knew about it, it would be something different. When you don't know about something, you become afraid of it. But I know your daughter would tell you in a minute, there's nothing like it in the whole wide world, how comfortable it makes you feel. So I think that you should really consider that.
Well, you know what? I've been also been approached by another family member that I should do that because we're dealing with folks that's really threatening our livelihood. And we have
Absolutely.
To protect ourselves and our family. So it's something,
you
know,
and always remember this.
Before,
you always, you know, you out there. You out there in the field. When you out there in the field, you know, dealing with these threats and stuff like that, you know, anything can happen, you know. But I would suggest, you know, get to know, read up on it. You could even take a class online. And then they'll take you to the firing range. So you just get used to having a gun in your hand. You know, it's something that, you know, we all should have. I'm more of a guerrilla fighter myself. I believe in, you know, sticking and moving, you know, and keep it moving.
I know that's right. And I'm saying right quick, Rep. Pinckney, you got me shaking already.
Are you shaking already?
Got me scared already. The thought of me having one in my hand.
I just gave you a lesson. That's going to cost you some dollars, girl. Use your credit card and go to my PayPal.
Well, you know what? We might drive down there. Let me know when the class is.
Okay. I'm going to do that. And soon the weather get a little bit better and we open up the building, I'm going to let you know. I'm going to have some people to come in and train people. And also hand-to-hand combat, too, you know, know what to do. And stuff like that. That's what I want to do. I want to get people prepared mentally to get out there and do what they need to do because I think it's crucial, you know, that you be able to take care of yourself, you know.
That's right.
Listen, you got a couple of minutes to say whatever you want, and I'm moving on to my friend Lee. Lee got some information he wanted to distribute, and I know he wants us to know about it. And we'll take it from there. Go ahead. You got 2 minutes. Say whatever your heart desires.
Okay, let's. Yeah, I'm concerned about our community's health. We claim our right to health, eat healthier foods. I'm working on that myself. I do raw juicing because it's just so traumatic for us to deal with this daily, what's going on in America and across the world. It's affecting us, dealing with the COVID-19 cases and dealing with such, uprising, you know, in our own communities And then you got intimidation from these white supremacist racist folks against us people, as you know, people of color. And so we just deal with a lot, and it's affecting our heart, and it's affecting our blood pressure and having numerous illnesses. So we got to work together, educate. I'm going to be working on having another medical health forum, and once I get established, who's going to be on the panel, and basically the venue where I'm going to have it's going to be different than where I had it before. We just got to come together and do for ourselves. Hopefully these struggling black businesses will reopen, and whatever we can do to help these black businesses get on their feet, then we need to do that. But it's real sad because of the coronavirus and then the government not giving them enough money to stay afloat while this was going on, while the COVID-19 is going on. So we have to definitely support our black businesses too. So I appreciate it, Reverend Pete, for having me on this today.
All right. And listen, you take care of yourself and go out there and take care of your daughter. Sing happy birthday to her. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't tell you to sing happy birthday. Like, get somebody to sing happy birthday to her other than you. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah. Cause it's going
thank
down,
you so much,
girl. Yeah,
okay,
all right.
Care.
You take care of yourself. All right now. That was my good friend, Marcina. That's my girl there. That's a real warrior, boy. That girl, she take it to the next level. But let me bring in my good friend from Detroit, the good guy, the guy who's been going through hell thanks to this corrupt system. But he kind of like know where he's going. He know what he have to do. He's a strong fighter. And he's been very fortunate, I would say, that they haven't killed him. Because I know how this system operates. Anytime you stand up to them, they come after you. You just have to be strong enough to fight back. My good friend Lee, talk to me, Lee. Tell me what's going on. Let the folks know who you are and what's happening, because we're giving you protection that, you know, that so is so important, because they know now that they know that we know what they're trying to do.
Oh, yeah.
So talk to me, Lee. Tell me what's going on.
Well, one of the things is their game of covering up the murder, they know is over with.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's why I did the video. And that's only the shorter version of the video.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you can look my case up and see when they actually, when they found out the, their informant on my case who was their serial killer. And
mm-hmm.
September 30th, 2019, when they got wind that I knew about this, they sent me to see a psychiatrist to try to find me incompetent. Moving
mm-hmm.
forward, they swept that under the rug as if they didn't know nothing about it. But the boy's mother even knows who killed her son. What she don't know is that he was an informant.
Mm-hmm.
So moving forward, this time, they didn't remove him. They actually still had him out here working, even though he even got away with several murders. They knew about the murders he did even before the murder of September 30th. They knew about
mm-hmm.
way other
mm-hmm.
murders. So moving forward, he finally get caught. Now everybody is scrambling. Like, oh, man. He done posed as a drug supplier, went in there and murdered the guy. And got caught on camera running up out of there.
Mm.
This time, no mess. So now they really at the point where it's like, this is not going to look good, because now he's held in the county jail and he's caught on camera actually doing this. Despite all the times that they tried to cover up the murders for him, he actually got caught in the act. But I went and pointed out everything else, showing the corruption within the whole entire case, where they done found some stuff that's used for bugs and going to say, I tested it. This is what the officer stated. He tested it.
Mm-hmm.
It tested positive for drugs. And he took all this information to the federal grand jury keep that in mind. All this information that I'm saying, they took before a federal grand jury. He said he tested the drugs. It tested positive. Well, I pointed out the Department of State Police Forensic Science Division, their laboratory. They say there's no controlled substance in this. There's no controlled substance detected in it. But they still choose to cover everything up. Now, since I put the video out, I don't know if one of them, a couple of them, done got wind of it, because now people is running. One of the persons in the video, they shut their Facebook page down because they realized, like, oh, wow, this guy has really been doing his digging on the whole case. But this, like I say, that video was like, what, 53 minutes long? That's only the shorter version of it. The other version, which is the longer version, actually me talking to the people in the community on what everybody in the community knows. It's no secret as to what they know. But they don't want this to come out because due to their negligence, they allow at least two that I know of, the one from September 30th and the one he's locked up for now. They allowed them two murders to go on, even though they knew he was a serial killer beforehand. Then the girls that's working with him, which they're no stranger to murders and anything. You know, they set my son up. They say the one, that's why I put the old video. I just happened to find it. It took me a minute to find that video on YouTube. But my son was calling me from jail. He was like, Dad, you gotta look it up. You gotta find it. You gotta be able to find that video. And I end up finding it. This was a murder that they swept under the rug, but it was a show called Detroit Homicide. And these same two people, they just had the wrong black guy. They had the right Mexican guy. They just had the wrong black guy. Well, he killed again, but except he put the murder on my son. My son didn't want to fight. I kept telling him, like, fight, man. You got to fight. You got to fight. They setting us all up. And he was like, man, I don't want to take it.
I don't want to make these folks mad.
Yeah, I don't want to make it worse. I say, well,
I'm gonna go ahead and take a dive. I ain't gonna make these white folks mad. When we white folks get mad, something got to give.
Which is true.
Yeah.
But I told him, I say, well, you know what? I'm a fight. Somebody has to sacrifice in order to bring this forward. Because Detroit police, they've been doing this for years. This ain't the first time they did this. This been going on for years. And in Southwest Detroit, and the thing is, it's a family of them. They really, like, wanted to cover that up, that it's a family of them. You have a Detroit police married to a Wayne County sheriff. And then his cousin is also a Wayne County sheriff. Then you got the corrupt Michigan State Police, which I pointed out their corruption all in the paperwork. So when you get a murder that take place, if you got the Wayne County Sheriff, Detroit Police, and the Michigan State Police all working in conjunction on this corruption, how you expect to get any justice? Unless somebody decide to say, you know what, I'm fed up with it. And me? No, they piss me off. They might be pissed off, but guess what? They piss me off. Because I seen what they was doing. The thing is, they didn't think that I would be the one to know all the people to give me the right information. They didn't know that. So they realized they mistake now. And that's why I had to, I said, you know what, I need to put this in a video because if anything try to occur, you know, and I give high honors to my sister, you know, Belinda Parker Brown, because she the one that first, she was one of the first ones to say, listen, you need to put this in a video and explain everything that you're trying to tell us. And
absolutely.
So I did that.
Mm-hmm.
From the corruption to even them taking me to the hospital. I went to the hospital for chest pain. Why are y'all drawing my blood?
Yeah.
You know, why is that? I'm not there for a DUI.
They're gonna pull an OJ on you. They're gonna pull an OJ on you. They're gonna put your blood.
Oh yeah,
I already knew
that they was gonna do that, and that's one of the reasons
uh-huh.
that when I went back
yeah.
to the records office, something said, record the conversation of these staff admitting that they drew your blood, because I knew
mm-hmm.
wouldn't nobody believe it.
Yeah.
They'd be like, man, you know, they ain't going to go that far on you. Well, there you go, right there.
There you go.
The date,
there
time,
you go.
And everything. So it's the thing is now what they're looking at is, you know, like I say, a couple of them shut their Facebook pages down. Some of them is all of a sudden they scrambling now. Everybody is scrambling
yeah.
because they realize.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, he's
hey,
putting this out there in front of the world
what,
now.
What floor? Let me ask you, what floor is the detective department on in Detroit at the what floor is that detective division on?
At the time of the video of the TV show Detroit Homicide, where it showed the the interview, that was the ninth floor.
Okay, that's yep.
Yeah, but they don't use the 1300 Bobie in headquarters no more.
Okay, what do they
do
now?
Well, they got this other place which is down. It's right over by the MGM casino,
okay.
which is the new Detroit Police headquarters.
On Grant,
they don't,
on
they
Grant
don't,
Avenue. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so when it was going, even the guy in the video, his mom and dad and all of them, they like, you know what? We don't like what's going on, and we don't like what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So they's like, you know what? We're willing to, yeah, we admit it. Even his older sister was like, nah, bump that. I don't like what they doing, and they working for the police and out here killing people and framing people
mm-hmm.
for the police.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely,
we're willing to speak on it. And this is his older sister. You know, so mm-hmm. they know.
Yeah.
But these guys been bragging about this for a long time. And
wow,
like I say, they main thing with utilizing, or I would say targeting me, was because I would tell people, like, hey, stay away from them guys, man. They not right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And several guys in the neighborhood would be like, man, what do you mean? You know, and I would tell them, like, listen, they're not right. It's a deep situation to go into. But I would tell guys for years, hey, don't trust them. Whatever you do, don't trust them. And a lot of people right now is looking at me and saying, wow, you know, I hated to have to come to you to say you told me so, but yeah, you told me so. I said,
yeah.
I've been telling y'all this for years, man. Y'all thought I was just making this up?
Mm.
I said, them guys is dirty. They've been dirty. They even got the guy admitting that he got family ties to Detroit police and Wayne County sheriffs.
Mm.
Got
wow,
him admitting
that's
it.
Right, yeah, that's got gang. Wow,
yeah.
Wow.
Got him admitting
mm.
it.
Mm.
And he don't even
wow.
realize it. That he's, because I was
when
like.
When they talk about killer cops, that they talk about them boys up in Detroit, killer cops, because that's exactly what they're doing. They've been doing it for years. They haven't just started doing it. They've been doing all this for years. Well, look, I got to let you go. But I just want to make sure that we get you on, because I know you got a lot to tell. And I want
yes,
you to
yes.
stay focused. And let's get the rest of this on there and see where we at and make sure we take this thing to a whole different level. So listen, time has ran out for us. But we get you, you know, we'll be back next week, same time, same station. And hey,
yes, sir.
When you have information, don't hesitate to call me.
I most definitely won't.
All right.
Trust me.
All right, my brother. All right. That's you can't